When we left Jesus last Sunday, we left him dead on the cross. Jesus suffered extreme agony. He was beaten, whipped, crucified, and left on the cross for 6 agonizing hours. And finally, in our passage last week, Jesus died. The veil was torn in two. The centurion declared him to be the Son of God, and the women watched from a distance. This evening, we see that Jesus was buried. Our passage is Mark 15, verses 42 through 47, and the passage deals with Jesus' burial. Why is this passage even here? What are we supposed to glean from this? Well, I really just have one idea that I want to share with you from our passage tonight. One thought from the text with 3 supporting ideas. Let me submit to you, the passage is here to show us that Jesus really did die. His burial is because he really did die. And I want to point out 3 reasons or 3 testimonies to that fact from our passage. And those are this: Joseph's petition, Pilate's confirmation, and Jesus' entombment. Joseph's petition, Pilate's confirmation, and Jesus' entombment. These are to show us that Jesus really did die. So let's start with Joseph's petition. We read this in Mark 15, 42, and 43. It's on the screen behind me. Feel free to follow along. And it says, "And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." Now, Mark has done something consistently over the past several weeks. He has consistently pointed out the time frame that these events took place. He tells us the hour that Jesus was crucified. He tells us the hour that darkness covered the land. He tells us the hour that Jesus expired. And he continues that thread by saying, when evening had come. It's evening now. And not only that, we're told it's the day of preparation. That is, the day before the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the day of rest, the day when no work was to be done. So all the work that you needed to do for the Sabbath had to be done on the day before. It was the day of preparation. Furthermore, that tells us that there was something else the Jews would have been concerned about. Anyone executed according to Jewish law who was hung on a tree needed to be buried before sundown. That was something the Jewish leaders would have been sensitive about. In fact, Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23 tell us this. It says, "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you should bury him the same day, for a hanged man is accursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." So the Jews, being sensitive to this, would have buried crucified victims. Romans, of course, would have been content to let the bodies decompose on the cross, but the Jews, wanting to follow the law, would have buried their victims. This, doubtless, is one thing that led Joseph of Arimathea to take courage and to go to Pilate. Now, we honestly know very little about this man. The text tells us he was from the city of Arimathea, and that town is unknown to us today. We don't know where it is or where it was. We're told also that he was a member of the council, and we take that to mean that he was part of the Sanhedrin. Now, we don't know if he was there with the Sanhedrin when they tried and condemned Jesus. Either he was absent or perhaps he abstained from the vote. We don't know. But the text also tells us that he was looking for the kingdom of God. Looking for the kingdom of God. In other words, he believed in the Old Testament prophecies of the coming kingdom. He believed them. And Matthew, the book of Matthew actually tells us that he was a disciple of Jesus, although it's secretly. Secretly, because he feared the Jews. Well, we see now at the death of Jesus, that fear has been conquered. He goes to Pilate and he requests the body of Jesus. Now, this took courage, as the text tells us, because to request the body of one accused of treason was to identify with that criminal. Joseph very likely could have been crucified himself just for doing this. So why did he do this? He did this because that fear had been conquered. Now, normally, it was the family of the crucified victim that requested the body. Where are Jesus' brothers and sisters right now? We don't know. We're not told. We do know that his mother, Mary, was there. John tells us that in his gospel. But you can imagine how distraught she must have been to have witnessed her own son being crucified, her own son being executed. She is likely not in a state to go request the body and see that he's buried. We also know that the disciples have fled. So in steps Joseph. He goes to Pilate. Why? Because Jesus is dead. And he needs to be buried. The next step needs to happen. The responsibility of taking care of the body needs to happen. And Joseph has a solution. Had Jesus not been dead, there would be no need to retrieve the body. But quite plainly, he is. And Joseph, at the risk of his own life, he goes to get the body of Jesus. He takes courage. He chooses not to follow Jesus in secret anymore, but rather decides to treat the body of the one that he believed with the Messiah with respect. Joseph goes to Pilate and petitions the governor for the body of Jesus. Now look how Pilate responds, verse 44. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Pilate's confirmation. Now, why was Pilate surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead? Because a lot of times crucifixion took days to kill the victim. The slow, agonizing pain of pushing up on nailed feet, pulling on hands nailed to a cross just to get a breath, that could go on for days before the victim succumbed to exhaustion and asphyxiation. So Pilate sent for his centurion to determine if Jesus was already dead. And the centurion, whether it was the same centurion who declared this was the Son of God or not, we don't know, but the centurion returns and confirms that Jesus was dead. And this is important for a number of reasons. One, there is an argument among skeptics that says Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. There's an argument among skeptics that say he swooned, he passed out, and then later in the tomb, in the cool of the tomb, he revived and came out, and his disciples saw him, and everybody thought it was a resurrection. And they use part of this passage to substantiate their theory. They say, look at Pilate. He was surprised. He was surprised that Jesus was dead. And they claim that gives support to this swoon theory. But the problem with that theory is that they checked to make sure he was dead. Pilate checked with the centurion to make sure that Jesus was dead. Now, Mark doesn't tell this, but we know from the Gospel of John that Jesus' side was pierced with a spear to confirm that he was dead. And don't forget that we're dealing with Romans. Romans were vicious. Romans were war-hardened men. They knew what death looked like. Better than you and I, they knew what death looked like. They would not make the mistake that Jesus had simply passed out. They would know. Pilate confirms that Jesus is dead, and then he grants the body to Joseph. And it's been suggested that Pilate's willingness to grant the body to Joseph gives evidence that Pilate didn't really believe the charges against Jesus. If Pilate had actually thought that Jesus was truly guilty of treason, he'd have likely denied Joseph and left the body on the cross. But it's more likely, given this event and the way that we looked at Pilate's handling of the trial, that Pilate didn't really believe these charges, so he gives the body to Joseph. Pilate here confirms Jesus was dead. Lastly, we see evidence of Jesus' death with his entombment. Jesus was buried. That's what we do with dead bodies. We bury them. Join me in verse 46. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Jews did not embalm bodies. They wrapped him. Instead, they wrapped him in these linen cloths, which were often packed with aromatic spices to offset the stench of decay. And a body would have been washed with water and then wrapped in one of these linen cloths. And we're told Jesus was laid in a tomb that had been cut out of rock. And this was perfectly normal back then. Bodies were laid in tombs. Interestingly enough, they were laid in these tombs for up to a year. They would let the body decompose, and then after a year or so, they would go back in, they would collect the bones, and they would keep them in a box. And then the tomb would be available again. But this tomb, a couple of things about this tomb. We know from the Gospel of Matthew, it was a new tomb. It belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, who gave up his own tomb to put Jesus in. No one had ever been buried in this one. Mark tells us that a stone was rolled against the entrance of the tomb. This was either a disc-shaped stone, if you can imagine in your mind, a disc-shaped stone that was rolled along a groove in the ground to cover the entrance, or it could have simply been a stone large enough to just conceal the entrance. Either way, it was sealed. The stone was rolled in front of the tomb, and for all intents and purposes, that was that. In their eyes, he's dead. His ministry's done. The sealing of the tomb sounded like the sealing of everything that they had believed. Normally, along with the linen shroud, the body would have been anointed with more spices, but the day is late. We're told at the beginning of the passage, it's already evening. In fact, Joseph likely had to hurry to get the body down before the Sabbath started. The day is late. The Sabbath was about to start. The Jewish day began at evening. Our day begins at midnight. Their day began at evening. So they could not fully complete the process. They had to seal the tomb and wait for the Sabbath to come and go. The last thing that we're told is that two of these women that we saw on Sunday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, they saw where Jesus was laid. And that's important. There were many tombs in this area. But they saw where he was laid. They knew exactly where the tomb was. They knew the spot where Jesus was buried. The tomb was sealed by the stone. Jesus really was dead. And the whole point of this passage is to show us that he really died. If he hadn't really died, then the next passage that we'll look at on Sunday is of no significance. If Jesus had not died, Mark chapter 16 holds no purpose. And this might feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but we need to understand the message that this is conveying to us. Jesus died. God died. His physical body expired on the cross. Why? This was the payment for our sins. God is holy and just. When we sinned against God, when man turned against God in the Garden of Eden, that created enmity between God and man. And that sin had to be paid for. Who required the payment? God did. God the Father required payment of sin because he is holy and just. And sin requires payment because sin incurs debt. We are indebted to God because of our sin. And that debt cannot go unpaid for. Someone's going to have to pay it. Just like in the life that we live, when debt happens, someone has to pay it. When a wrong is done, someone is going to have to absorb the wrong. Think about this, just as an illustration. If I came over to your house and say you had some beautiful decorative piece of art on your wall, something that you treasured, and say something happens while I'm there and I end up breaking it. Broken. One of two things happens. Either you forgive me, I say, I apologize, I'm sorry, I'll pay for it. And you say, no, no, don't worry about it, I forgive you. And you absorb that cost, you absorb that debt. or you do expect me to pay for it, and I absorb that debt. Either way, someone's going to pay for it. The debt has to be paid for. Sin created debt. And there's only one of two responses. Either we pay that debt, which is forever in hell, or God comes down. God comes down in human flesh, and he takes the debt for us. Either we're going to pay it, or he's going to pay it. But the debt has to be paid. We can pay it in separation from God forever, or he pays the debt by taking our suffering and our death upon himself. And when Jesus did that, he completely took the debt away. What do we do with this? Well, first, have you trusted that Jesus paid your debt? Even though that Jesus did take the debt upon himself, we still have to receive that. We still have to accept that. He's holding out in his hand a paid in full receipt, but we still have to reach out and take it. He really did die as payment for your sin. Have you trusted that? Do you believe in his sacrifice that he paid the debt for your sin? If not, just consider what I've said. Consider what the story says. Consider what Good Friday is all about. All of us have sinned. There's no exception to that. All of us have sinned, except, of course, Jesus, who was the only sinless man who ever lived. All have sinned, and sin requires punishment, and either we're going to bear that punishment or we're going to accept his offer to bear it for us. So how do we accept that offer? We use this word here in church. We use this word called repent. We repent of sin. And to repent is simply to turn away. It's to turn away from living life my way. It's to turn away from my sin. It's to stop depending on myself, stop living for myself, and instead turn to Jesus and accept his offer of salvation. Repent of sin and believe in Jesus. And I'm here to just ask, have you done that? And if not, then let me just ask, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from allowing your debt of sin to be paid in full? If you have more questions on that, I'll be around afterward. I would love to talk to you. But fellow Christian, what do we do with this truth? You may have said to yourself, I did receive that paid in full. I did go to Jesus. Praise God. But what do I do with this? What do I do with the death of Jesus? What do I do with God's death? We continue to live in light that our sin has been paid for. See, the truth is, you and I, we're going to continue to sin. We're still in a body that desires sin. We're still going to do that. And we have one of two choices. We can either try to hide it, we can internalize it, we can end up feeling guilty and we can condemn ourselves, or we can remember that Christ already paid for that. We can remember that his death already paid in full the debt that we owed. The truth is, as Christians, we are legally righteous before God. His love for us does not change whether we are living in sin or not. We never lose our salvation, but we can experience a disruption in our relationship. And perhaps you felt this, that when we sin, there's a disruption. No, we don't lose our salvation. No, God doesn't stop loving us, but there is a disruption in the relationship. And we can sense that. What is God doing? He's calling us back to himself. He's calling us back to repent and believe, because that's what the Christian life is. Repentance and belief. That's what the gospel's all about. And what does that do? That gives us confidence to confess our sins. All of the Christian life is repentance and belief. And we have confidence to go before God knowing that he's already paid the debt in full. We can do that because God died. We can do that because the tomb was sealed. Jesus really did die. And the scripture makes that absolutely clear, that death was to pay the penalty of sin that you and I incurred, but because the debt has been paid, you and I can experience forgiveness and an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the tomb was sealed. Jesus' dead body is in the grave. But that's not the end of the story. Bow with me in prayer. Jesus, thank you. What we read tonight is not easy to hear, but we must, because you took the penalty on yourself. You died the death that we deserved. You were buried, taking with you the sin that should have been ours. Jesus, help us to understand that and help us to live in light of the fact that for those who confess Jesus as Lord, their sin is done and gone and paid for. And we can live in confidence that we don't bear that guilt anymore. You bore it. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us more. We pray in your awesome name. Amen.